Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Despite your best efforts to do the right thing and be helpful to others, do you find there are those who doubt your motives or outright oppose you? How do you handle such opposition? Yesterday, we watched as Paul and Barnabas, despite their best efforts to be helpful to the people of Pisidian Antioch, were actually opposed so strongly by some influential people that they had to leave town. Dr. Luke, the author of the book of Acts in the Bible, tells us they went east about 100 miles to the city of Iconium. There, they took the same approach as has been their pattern in other towns. They went to the Jewish synagogue, and as before, Paul, even though a visitor, was invited to speak after the scripture readings. Luke tells us there was a wonderful response. They spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Acts 14, verse 1. But have you noticed that initial euphoria often wears out quickly? You see it with little children opening gifts at Christmas or athletic teams celebrating a win. The same was true in Iconium, for Luke tells us, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Acts 14, verse 2. Why is it so often that people who do not welcome help or hope offered also work hard to prevent others from receiving that help or hope? Have you seen that? In Iconium, however, it appears the Holy Spirit of God emboldened Paul and Barnabas, and they stayed there quite a long time. Luke writes, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time in Iconium, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. Acts 14, verse 3. Now that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Do you see what God was doing here? First, God clearly directed Paul and Barnabas to stay and not buckle under the pressure at Iconium. Are you and I able to discern God's guidance of us when opposition or difficult circumstances discourage us? Are we quick to obey, or do we tend to argue with God's guidance or even run? Second, God emboldened them to speak the truth of Jesus boldly in the face of opposition. It causes us to ask how we respond when those opposed to Jesus oppose us also. Third, the Holy Spirit enabled Paul and Barnabas to do some miracles. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what the miracles were, but we understand it was by those God-empowered actions that God was confirming the truthfulness of their message about the risen Jesus Christ. So how does God confirm the words of God's truth which you and I speak? Now, wouldn't you think those three actions of God would be welcomed by the people of Iconium and a great celebration might break out? Well, Dr. Luke tells us the people of the city were divided. There was a plot developing to mistreat Paul and Barnabas and even stone them. But they discovered it and they fled to the cities of Lystra and Derbe. Acts 14, verse 5 and 6. Are you surprised by the harsh, even violent reaction of the people in these cities against Paul and Barnabas and their message of Jesus? Look around your city, my friends. What do you see as the response to Jesus and his message in the town where you live? Finally, the Holy Spirit evidently gave Paul and Barnabas permission to leave Iconium, and the Spirit led them about 20 miles south to the town of Lystra. While they didn't know it, God was about to do something in Lystra that would forever mark Paul's life and his legacy. Luke tells us a crippled man in Lystra was among those listening as Paul spoke, and he was fascinated by what Paul said about Jesus. Then Paul looked right at the cripple, and the Holy Spirit gave Paul the sense this man had great faith. And the Spirit guided Paul to speak to the cripple, saying, "Stand up on your feet." Acts 14, verse 8 to 10. All eyes turned to the crippled man, and Dr. Luke tells us the crippled man jumped up and began to walk. Now, what's happening here, my friends? The power of God has healed a crippled man, as Paul was carefully following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You'll remember we saw this with the Apostle Peter and a Jerusalem crippled man in Acts chapter 3, and again a crippled man in Lydda in Acts chapter 9. Jesus had told his disciples they would be empowered by God so they could do many of the same miracles Jesus did for the purpose of validating their message about Jesus as God's truth, John chapter 14. The reaction of these Gentiles in Lystra, however, was very different from the Jews in Jerusalem or Lydda. Luke reports, "When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, 'The gods have come down to us in human form.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, according to Acts 14. For Messianic Jewish men, Paul and Barnabas, this was a moment they would never forget. It's one thing to receive gratitude or even applause for something significant you've done, but to be called gods and the people prepared a sacrifice to your honor, well, that's a whole different matter, isn't it? Have you learned how important it is that you do not steal God's glory or draw the attention of worshipers away from God into yourself? Both Paul and Barnabas knew this powerful truth God had proclaimed years before through his prophet Isaiah. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isaiah 42, verse 8. They also highly respected this word from God in Isaiah chapter 66. This is the person I esteem, says the Almighty God, the one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Paul and Barnabas were stunned by the actions of this crowd, and in reverence for God and his word, they rushed into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God." Acts 14, verse 14 and 15. Pause. How quick are you to turn the applause, the honor to Jesus, and not absorb it unto yourself? It should not be difficult for us to envision this scene, so let's pause here and watch closely what is happening. Can you look at this volatile, confusing scene with both physical and spiritual eyes? Do you see the spiritual battle raging? Can you see spiritual battles raging around you?